Listen, if you dare, to the Lovecraft Tapes.
Welcome to the Lovecraft Tapes podcast. I am Jeremy, your keeper of arcane lore, and this is K17, Seance 9. Your investigators of the unknown are Brian as Ben.
You know, I really liked it when there are no other cars or people. It was kind of peaceful.
Lupine as Rosa.
Otto's such a cute little boy, isn't he? He's such a good boy.
And Matt as Diego.
Move that bus as soon as I'm on.
Appearances can be deceiving, as our investigators of the unknown discover, while attempting to make sense of the dire circumstances in which they found themselves. While in jail, Diego gets a visit from his father, who more or less intimates he's no longer welcome at home. Rosa learns more about the cult from Harcourt, whose recent aversion to ho-hos isn't exactly on the up and up. Despite trying to do the right thing, Ben springs himself from a cell block, only to discover the world outside has changed beyond comprehension. It is morning, Friday, April 21st. Diego is riding a bus back the way he'd just come, hoping to find out more about the ninth session, coming soon to Star Theater. Rosa stands with a stony face and a hard heart before a crucifix upon which Cece has been bound naked as an impending sacrifice to the elder gods. Ben is joyriding with Lilith Devereaux back to her Beverly Hills compound, where she promises she'll teach him how to reactivate and harness his innate power called the Reach. Diego. As the bus ambles slowly through Hollywood land, picking up more passengers at seemingly every spot, you sorely miss your mini bike right now. For one, you'd easily skirt the springtime potholes by utilizing the sidewalk occasionally. This driver, however, seems to be aiming for all of the potholes. Your rear end bounces painfully on the hard seat so frequently, you're starting to get worried about your tender coccyx. Finally, the route reaches Southern Hollywood Heights. You get off just before the hydraulic doors snap shut, and the bus roars away, bathing you in a wave of noxious fumes. Teary-eyed and coughing, you guesstimate Star Theater should be a couple blocks to the east.
Who gave you a license to drive that thing anyway, you idiot?
You hear a honk.
That's what I thought. I'm going to take a minute to orient myself to where I am, and then I'm going to start heading towards where I think Star Theater is.
According to the address, it should be just a couple blocks. So you amble on down the sidewalk. It's early morning, so there's the usual gaggle of tourists running around, taking photos. You're basically in the outskirts of true Hollywood, so it's maybe the people who couldn't quite afford the great tours. People look at you as you pass, thinking, oh, maybe he's some sort of star. A group of Japanese tourists snapping photos of you with a flash on midday, blinding you as you go past. And they're saying things under their breath. And give me a listen roll.
And a speak Japanese bro.
I needed a 35. I rolled a 15. That's a hard success.
So you hear a flurry of Japanese, except for occasionally you'll hear Lee Marvin.
Just to mess with them, I'm going to start like looking over, and then I'm going to like put my hand up and try and like shield my face and walk a little quicker, because I just walked out of a police station and they still think that I might have done something. So I really don't want people taking my picture.
Stealth seems good. Go ahead, roll.
I needed a 60. I rolled a 6. That's an extreme stealth.
You managed to shield your face from most of the photos. More importantly, you sidestep a couple young ladies who have a series of signatures on their pads of paper that are from celebrities that clearly probably weren't signed by the actual celebrities. They attempt to corner you to get your signature, but you manage to sidestep them and use oncoming pedestrians to block the path. And before they know it, you're on your way. Lurking between North Las Palmas and North Cherokee is the Star Theater, a modern structure seemingly composed of glass, metal, and mirror. Its walls tilt slightly toward Hollywood Boulevard, as if glowering at the passerby with steely, emotionless indifference. The marquee blazes so brightly, the letters assembled thereupon drift in and out of focus, pulsing in tune to your heartbeat. They announce the ninth session coming soon. A small, spherical-shaped ticket seller kiosk nestles between velvet-padded doors.
Did you say velvet-padded doors?
Olé!
Toro, Toro!
Is anybody in the ticket kiosk right now, or is it empty?
You do see a dim shape, yes.
Quickly walk through the front doors without even stopping at the ticket thing. I'm just going to try and walk right in and see what happens.
Doors appear to be locked. You meet resistance. Bonk.
Ow.
But it's velvet padded, so it's actually a nice bonk.
Oh.
It's like a horny bonk.
A sensuous bonk.
Le bonk.
And you hear a voice emit from the kiosk next to the door.
May I help you, sir?
You know your doors are locked, right? Nobody can get in.
Would you like to purchase a ticket?
Oh, you see, that's the thing. My friends already bought tickets and they're inside waiting for me. I just got to catch up with them. I tried to catch the bus, missed the bus, had to run to the next stop to get the bus, and then the bus driver was a real dick about the whole thing. You get me, right?
Bus drivers are dicks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you mind? I need to get in there to meet up with them. They're waiting on me. I'm holding everything up.
Tickets, please.
Oh, if they have them, they're inside already. I, like I said, they already paid for them. I just need to get in there real quick.
Failed this public transportation role.
No showings currently.
Oh, man, did I get punked again? I see my friends do this to me all the time.
They sound like assholes, sir.
Yeah, say, you know, for a place that calls itself a theater, it's kind of weird that you're not showing any movies.
Would you like to purchase a ticket to the ninth session coming soon?
So it's not out yet? Why would I pre-order something like that? That doesn't make sense, man.
Please approach the kiosk if you wish to discuss more.
I'm just going to stand here and awkwardly yell at you across the gap.
Sir, I cannot see you. You're off to the side.
I'm going to walk over to the ticket kiosk.
And as you get closer, you begin to see a smiling, unblinking, bald man, very gaunt and thin, wearing a theater uniform that is purple with golden epaulets on his shoulders and a little round cap on his head. And he simply watches you as you approach.
Would you like to purchase a ticket, sir?
Like I said, it's kind of weird that you're trying to sell tickets to something that isn't a thing yet. You don't think that's kind of weird? I mean, who prepays for something that they can't get?
You have an excellent point, sir. Would you like to speak with the management?
Well, my name isn't Karen, so not yet.
I see, sir.
So what'd you say the name of this movie was?
As you can see from the marquee, it is The Ninth Session. Coming soon.
Oh, no. See, I was never taught to read, so.
Oh, that is unfortunate. But thankfully, I am telling you.
It sounds an awful lot like this little thing that me and my friend saw once called, what was that called? Seance 9? I'm going to watch and see if he makes some sort of expression.
He does not. He is expressionless.
You ever hear that movie, Seance 9?
I have not, sir. Perhaps that will be coming soon as well. But you'd have to ask the management.
You just get paid, what, like minimum wage to hang out here? And
I do this for free. It's my hobby.
My parents always told me that if you're good at something, you should never do it for free. All right? That's some life advice right there.
I was never very good at latch hook.
Well, you know what? You're never going to get anywhere if you don't practice. And there's no time like the present.
And you look behind the counter and he's actually latch hooking.
His hands slowly rise up with two latch hooks.
There you go. That's called initiative.
Perhaps one day, sir. May I help you at all? Or would you like to talk to the management?
How nice is your management? Are they like good people, or am I going to have like trouble?
They are excellent at what they do. We all have our part to play.
Yeah, you know what? If you know, I don't want to inconvenience them or anything, but if they're just kind of hanging around.
Yes, they are hanging around. Inside, sir. Shall I buzz you in?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
He depresses a button and you hear a little click as one of the padded doors releases.
You keep up with that latch hooking, man. I'm going to be checking in on you. Accountability.
Thank you, sir. I shall endeavor.
Give me a spot hidden.
I needed a 59. I rolled an 11. That's an extreme spot hidden.
You do happen to see that as he turns towards you, he's wearing a name tag. And the name tag reads Skelos. Skelos.
You sure you're not like a He-Man villain or anything? Because that...
Until next time, sir.
Open up the door and head inside.
And you're immediately greeted with a wave of air conditioning. It feels pleasant. You smell the usual odors of freshly popped popcorn. Just beyond is a cavernous lobby that seems to swallow up the sound of your footsteps as you enter, and the door snicks shut behind you, sealing out the daylight. And there is a long concession counter near the back of this lobby, brightly lit from the display case, which has an assorted variety of different treats.
Dang, this place is snazzy. Gonna take a quick look around and see if there are any people just hanging out in the lobby.
There are no other customers. Obviously, nothing is being shown currently. There is nobody behind the counter. Everything seems to be quiet.
Okay, then. I'm gonna start walking through the building towards, do I see like a hallway that looks like where the theaters are on either side of the concession stand, or?
Exactly right. So the concession stand's in the middle, entrances to either side.
Eeny, meeny, that one, and start walking down the left side hallway, looking for any like doors that are labeled for staff or employees.
So yeah, you traverse the cavernous lobby, your footsteps echoing in the emptiness. You're quite struck that first, you've never heard of this place. Second, it appears to be like in spectacular, pristine condition. It's not the threadbare dive theater that you might have expected to see, particularly in this part of the neighborhood that's just slightly on the outskirts of mainstream Hollywood. And as you approach the left hallway, you sense a presence, a figure slowly rise from behind the counter.
Just going to keep walking and see if they say anything.
They do. You hear a voice say,
"May I help you, sir?"
I'm going to look over. Oh, Jesus.
And indeed, it appears that it is the same guy who was in the kiosks, now somehow behind the counter.
Do you have like a twin brother who watches the ticket thing out front? Or?
Why, no, sir. I am an only child.
Why don't you just out front at the ticket thing, and then I walked in, and how do you do that?
I'm sure I don't understand what you're referring to.
I don't know if you've ever been out to the front of the building, but there's like this little booth where people usually go to buy tickets, and you were already sitting in there.
I've heard tales. May I be of assistance?
I love this guy.
Yeah, I got a tip off from a friend of mine that you guys were getting close to opening here. I was just wondering if you were hiring. You know, I'm a kid. I got free time. I was looking to pick up some money. Figured you might need somebody to help you run this place.
How nice. Do you have experience?
I have life experience, I'll tell you that much.
Ooh, well, that is the bare minimum requirement.
Woo!
Would you like to fill out an application?
Oh, of course.
And he slides a piece of paper across the concession stand countertop.
You got a pen that I can borrow?
Yes, sir. And he slides a pen across.
Thanks. I'm just going to take my time filling this out. You know, you got to make a good first impression.
Yes, absolutely. Did you have any questions for me? I am, after all, Skelos, the management.
Well, nice to meet you. Is that just Skellos? Sort of like, is that like Mr., Mrs.? I don't assume.
Just Skellos. I'm like Cher.
Okay, just Skellos. I'm gonna fill this out. I'll just be like right over here. I'm just gonna slide down the counter a little bit away from him.
Does the gentleman require sustenance while he fills out the application?
Oh no, I'm good. Thank you though. I appreciate the offer.
Please have your pick.
And he waves his hand over the countertop, indicating all of the treats within the display case.
You know what? Since you're offering, I'm going to take some of those W&Ws you got there, because they melt in your mouth, not in your hand, you know?
Excellent. Here you go, sir. Anything else? You prefer something a bit more chocolatey, perhaps?
Oh, no, these are fine. This is like, I don't know if you've ever had these, but this is like the height of chocolate, you know? It's good stuff.
I see. Yes, the candy coating.
I'm just going to be filling this out over here. Shouldn't take long.
He's watching you the entire time.
Is there anything unusual about the application, or is it just like a standard boilerplate minimum wage job application?
It is very boilerplate, but it's almost beyond simplistic. Name, address, phone number, and three things to put any kind of experience, job experience.
I'm going to not give him any of my real information. We're just gonna kind of make it up as we go.
Nice. What's the name?
Dirk Diggler.
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that.
And you turn in the application back to him.
Yeah, here you go.
And he takes it and looks at it.
Why, thank you, Mr. Diggler.
Yeah, that's me.
What was it you did at the Human Fund?
I worked in the mailroom. I'd, you know, deliver packages, correspondences. I also, you know, they once let me get coffee. It was great.
Excellent. Mail packages. I'll put that down here. What would you say is your greatest weakness?
You know, that's a really great question. I'd say that my greatest weakness is my strengths.
It takes a brave man to admit that.
Well, it's not that you work too hard?
Well, Mr. Diggler, everything here looks to be in order. I, the management, would be happy to call you when and if we need additional assistance. As you know, we have one movie, The Ninth Session, coming soon.
I've seen the posters.
Oh, you have? Well, you have a leg up on your competition.
I also saw the billboard, too. That is a nice billboard you paid for.
What? A poster and a billboard?
Oh, yeah.
You have qualifications in spades.
Yeah. You know, I was telling the guy outside, it reminds me of this, this is like a small film that didn't get a whole lot of popularity that I watched with my friends called, Seance 9.
It sounds similar, but I assure you, The Ninth Session is a modern masterpiece.
Maybe that's what it is. It just kind of sounds a little similar. You know, that might be what's tripping me up, you know?
Perhaps the number 9 might have thrown you off a bit.
Yeah, well, you know what they say about 9.
I assure you, Mr. Diggler, The Ninth Session should take the world by storm.
You do movie trailers? You got a really great voice for movie trailers.
Why, thank you. In a world.
Yes, perfect. Why are you here managing a theater? You could be a big star, you know?
I've been practicing, but my latch hook gets in the way.
It's a rug with the pattern of The Scream by Beth Rubin.
Say, you have a bathroom in here I can use real quick before I go, or are those not working yet?
Oh, unfortunately, we haven't installed them yet. No need.
You don't think people are going to need to go to the bathroom?
Eventually, when The Ninth Session arrives.
Right. No, you got a point there. So exit is which way? Can I just go like this way?
Back the way you came.
Not this. Okay. I really thought it was just over here down this hallway. So.
Oh, absolutely not.
You sure about that? I mean, this place is kind of. Do you know your building?
I know it to a T. We have one screen.
Really? Do you have proper, like, you have the correct number of exits? You know, it's the fire marshal around here is a real stickler for occupancy.
Yes. Back the way you came.
Wait, the screen is out there, but that doesn't make any sense, because the movie theater's in here.
Are you sure you don't have any other questions about The Ninth Session before you leave?
Yeah, who stars in that movie? I it didn't say on the poster.
That is the lovely and delightful Lilith Devereaux.
Oh, haven't heard of her. She done anything?
This will be her big breakout, I'm sure.
Good for her. You know, they say it's really difficult to make it in this town. It's really wonderful that she's doing good for herself. You know, it's, I had a friend who tried to get into movies once. He had a really great one-liner that, you know, was that everybody really loved, but just never went any farther than that, you know?
What was the one-liner?
I think it was like, stop you, or something like that. You know, it's been a while.
We're all pulling for Lilith Devereaux. She'll bring a fresh perspective to this Hollywood eventually.
Oh, yeah, no, sounds great. Say, what's that right over there? I haven't seen that candy before. I'm going to point behind him. Ho-hos are good, you know? You should try one.
Bite your tongue. I can assure you, sir, this is no Hostess product.
I wasn't calling you a whore. The name of the treat is a ho-ho.
I am well aware of what a ho-ho is, and we do not allow them on these premises.
That makes sense.
Would you like a junior mint or a senior mint?
So what you're saying is you wouldn't be happy and I'm going to pull out a ho-ho if I did this and I'm just going to chuck it across the concession stand.
Bullet cam as the ho-ho flies.
But no, God, we, oh, geez, now we have to get like a whole team in here on hazmat suits.
And then I'm just going to take off running down the hallway looking for a door that says like staff or employee that would lead up to like where the projection room is, kind of. I'm just trying to get behind the scenes.
Rosa. Fighting tears by drawing strength from your anger, you force yourself to turn away from the chapel dais and Cece. If you're to be of any use to her, you're going to have to put aside emotion for now. One of the brick walls, either Griggs or Hobbs, you can't tell them apart, whistles for Otto, the Doberman thing. It trots happily away from you, tail wagging, to lie at their feet as the twins converse with one another through a series of abbreviated hand gestures that resemble alien sign language. Evidently, they don't view you as much of a threat now. From the main hallway, Harcourt waits for you patiently.
So I'm going to cross to Harcourt.
Hey, is she okay? Did you get to doctor at all?
A little bit. They won't let me near.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot about to tell you about the line. Can't cross the line.
Are they always up here?
There's usually somebody here, yeah.
Have you ever seen Otto eat anything?
No, I haven't, actually.
What do we do now?
Before you got here, I was kind of like snooping around, trying to find stuff. Like, we gotta figure out like some way to break her spell, right?
Yeah. What'd you find?
Well, not much. I mean, she's been keeping me on a short leash until now. And, you know, so I've seen most of the downstairs. That's how I found her study, which now I can't get into.
All part of my plan.
There's like 3 floors above here that I haven't been in yet. She's not here right now, and I don't know how much time we've got left. So it seems like maybe now's a good time to check out other floors.
It's pretty obvious that I am not a fan of her. So if we get caught, let's just say that I was trying to run away and you were following me.
I like that a lot. Okay, yeah, that's perfect. We'll see if she buys it, because like, I don't know, she's got like this weird magic thing. Also, maybe take like a little bit of a nibble of the ho-ho like once every 30 minutes or so, just because it tends to creep back in. I start to get muddled again.
All right, so let's go up.
So yeah, we got the second floor, third floor, and fourth floor. Do you want to go all the way up and then down, or do you want to go systematically up?
Let's start with second.
That's where bedroom is. I haven't seen it, but I can hear things bumping around.
Almost like the knocking of boots.
There's a sock on the door handle. Don't go in.
He leads you towards the main central staircase. And thankfully, right now, there's nobody up here. Everybody seems to be training downstairs in the basement. Griggs and Hobbs are in the chapel hanging out with Cece and Otto. It appears to be completely clear all the way up. So there is a grand sweeping staircase that goes up to a landing and then doubles back up to the second floor. So why don't you go ahead and give me a stealth roll and just don't fumble it.
Ooh, I got a hard success.
You and Harcourt make your way up, padding very quietly. Thankfully, the stairs are carpeted. As a matter of fact, the entire interior of this place is very lush and modern, has been remodeled recently, perhaps.
Joke's on them, though, because there's asbestos everywhere. In 60 to 70 years, they're going to get mesothelioma and other various cancers. But they might be entitled to compensation.
And yeah, you make your way up to the second floor. So there is what you would expect, a master suite and bathrooms and so forth.
Is there a room that's we can tell is hers?
There are a few rooms that are minor suites, and they are mostly cloaked in white sheets, so they're being unused. But at the very end of this grand hall is the master suite.
And it's unlocked currently.
You attempt the door handle and it unlatches. The door swings open noiselessly. You're greeted by a beautiful entry hallway into a sitting room. Off to one side of the sitting room is a walk-in closet that's the biggest you've ever seen in your entire life. It's about four times the size of your dorm room. There is a bathroom to one side. There is a small little office area. And then there is her bedroom.
Look around her bedroom for anything, but I don't expect to find much since it's unlocked.
Yeah, go ahead and give me a spot hidden then.
I get an 87 over 33. That is a fail.
I guess you're struck by the fact that there is very little of personal interest here. There doesn't appear to be any photographs of people. The wardrobe is very clean, and she's not one to leave like piles of clothing around. There's no reading material by the bedside. There's no interesting artwork on the wall. It's almost as if no one lives here. It doesn't have a lived-in aspect to it.
You don't notice Skelos just sitting in the corner watching you.
Hello.
However, there, you do see a computer.
I'm going to look at that computer.
It's an old school CRT monitor, green, and it is powered on with a flashing cursor.
Print, hello world.
I am going to look for anything interesting.
So that would be a...
computer use. Oh, that is a fail at a 46 over 13.
You hop on hoping that password is password or 123 or... you know, you don't know her birthday, but you try Otto.
The director of the old movie, Schlesinger.
Skelos.
I don't know that name, but for some reason I feel the need to try Skelos.
No matter what you attempt to plug in there as a password to get in, you keep hearing this faint little...
There's a duck in the computer, you guys.
Should we head up?
Yeah, let's look at the next floor, see if there's anything interesting.
Good, because I'm getting kind of an itchy feeling. I think she's getting close, so we should probably step this up a bit.
Take it by your hole.
He takes a little nibble. Ah, that's the stuff. It's so good.
And I'm going to take a nibble of mine, too.
And you guys move up to the third floor. Now, this appears to be a similar set of rooms. You peek into one of the doors and see that it's a large room that takes up about a third of the area up here, filled with mannequins.
Ew, I hate mannequins.
And they're all dressed up in different costumes, different wardrobes that you immediately recognize. They are from famous movies. So you see like the gown and the suit that were worn in Gone with the Wind.
Did I happen to see anything similar at Odeon?
Definitely similar. The difference would be that Yu probably wouldn't have authentic stuff. Anything that he had would have been second-rate B-movie, Z-movie. Any mannequins he had probably would have been headless. But here, these are very high-quality mannequins, articulated mannequins. So you could put them in different poses.
Mannequins on curious poses.
Go ahead and give me a spot hidden, please.
That's a 47 over 33, so that is a fail. I think that makes sense because mannequins creep me the fuck out.
Yeah, you are unnerved from the very first exposure.
Might be a sanity roll for me.
Let's see how unnerved you are.
That is a hard success. 39 under 80.
Your sanity is pretty rock solid. I sort of envision you opening up the door, seeing all these mannequins, immediately taking in the fact that they're wearing costumes from movies, articulated in the action poses from those movies, and just going, nope, and then slamming the door shut.
That feels very on brand. I turn to Harcourt and say, we should burn this after we're done.
Definitely. I'm down. A little bit of fire never hurt nobody. Well, it hurt a few people, but if I don't need to know what's in there, I'm perfectly fine with that.
I don't think you do.
Check out this place over here. And he indicates a door that he's left slightly ajar.
So I'm going to peek my head inside.
Inside, you see what is quite clearly a laboratory. beakers and Bunsen burners and all sorts of interesting things.
Is there a table on chains that could lift up through a roof that opens?
It's alive! Appears to be much more cozy than that.
Cozy?
It's a Stardew Valley laboratory. How's
that? Oh, okay. Go in and see if I can find any notes.
The first thing you see as you approach the tabletop upon which there is a stack of notebooks is an empty box of ho-hos. Ben. Beverly Hills certainly lives up to its name. As the narrow road winds upward, snaking through private neighborhoods until you arrive at 907 Loma Vista Drive. At a snap of Lilith's fingers, the massive wrought iron gate opens in the high concrete barrier around the property to reveal the outline of a rambling mansion. 4 stories tall, like a castle out of time. The Mustang convertible races ever forward, without ever slowing down. As you approach, you think you hear a dog bark. But by the time the vehicle brakes hard at the main entrance, there is nothing but silence and dust. "Welcome to my humble home," Lilith says. "Come on in and meet the family."
"Thanks. So what are the 4 stories about?"
They're about these 4 brothers and 4 brides. No, wait, that's not important right now. "Are you thirsty still, my excitable boy?"
"Yes, I'm very thirsty."
So she gets out of the Mustang, and before you can even reach for the door handle, she's opening the door for you.
She's quick, quick like a whip.
"Would you like some Nestle's Quick? We have some inside."
"Do you have strawberry?"
"I have strawberry and chocolate." "Do you need a change of underwear or what?"
"No, why?"
"Come on in." And she puts out her hand to take yours.
I slowly put my hand into hers, daintily.
"Follow me." And she walks towards one of the side doors off the main entrance, opens it up, and you can see a gleaming kitchen beyond.
Ooh.
A chef's kitchen.
"All right, I follow, of course. There's nothing wrong with any of this. I'm a handsome young man."
And she closes the door firmly behind you. You see 5 or 6 people rushing around the kitchen preparing a meal, but the meal looks like it's probably for about 100 people. They are whisking great big stainless steel bowls that look like eggs. There are several pans of sizzling bacon on the stovetop, fresh baked bread in the oven, tang mixed into like 5-gallon jugs.
Nice.
She walks in, weaving amidst these folks with ease and practice, and goes straight to a cabinet above the refrigerator, grabs down a big box of Nestle's Strawberry Quick, brings it down, and she makes eye contact with you as she mixes it without even looking at what she's doing, and then brings you a nice tall glass of pink milk. "Here you are, Ben."
"Thank you so much."
"Drink deep. It's going to be a long day we have together."
Tip it back and keep eye contact with her and just let the whole thing pass all the way down into my stomach. I don't even swallow. I just pour it down my esophagus.
And she takes the glass from you and puts it in the sink. "Well done."
"Thanks, bro." Pink puke everywhere.
"Did that hit the spot, Ben?"
"It did."
"Excellent. I'd like to have you meet the folks downstairs."
"Your parents are here?"
"We're all family here, so these are just my special people."
"Let's go. I'd love to meet them."
"Excellent." And she opens a door that leads to the basement. "After you."
"Oh no, after you. You've done so much for me." Try to go through the doorway together.
"After you, after you." Wise guy.
"Sweetly."
And she takes your hand in hers. You notice how clammy her hand feels, but also the texture of her skin is oddly abrasive. It has a certain toughness to it.
Weird.
She seems to be very dainty and willowy on the outside, but the feel of her is leather.
I'm going to grip a little tighter.
"Do you use sandpaper for skincare?"
"Get some help."
As you grip tighter, she smiles even wider. As you near the bottom of the steps, you hear grunting and muffled gunshots.
Sex dungeon. Add that to the real estate listing.
We'll head back to Diego, who is loping through the theater, attempting to find some sort of office. So, yeah, I think what we'll need from you at this point is probably a stealth to avoid being tossed out of here.
I needed a 60. I rolled a 46, which is a regular success. And my parents said majoring in ho-ho warfare was a terrible life decision.
You race down that left corridor and you hear Skelos, or whoever this management person is, caught between wondering whether he should give chase or clean up the ho-ho that you threw. So that gives you just enough time to get further in and see a short staircase that leads up to the projection booth on your right-hand side. And then on the left-hand side, there's a small office that says, do not enter.
Duck into the office. Ignoring the sign that says do not enter and entering anyways, because fuck that sign. It can't tell me what to do.
And as you might expect, it is a very small management office where a lot of the administrative stuff takes place. And there's a bunch of papers there.
I'm going to very softly close the door and hope that he doesn't hear the click. Quickly survey the office, quickly skimming the paperwork that's on the desk.
There are a number of notepads, yellow legal paper pads that have nothing written on them. It's almost as if someone had purchased them from the stationery store and then just spread them out onto the desktop. There is a single handwritten piece of paper that has the ninth session instructions at the very top of it with a bunch of bullet points down below.
Ooh, don't mind if I do. And I'm going to start reading the instructions.
And it is clearly some directives for when the screening does take place. And at the very top of it is absolutely no ho-hos allowed, no unauthorized photographs during the screening.
Bring my flash camera, got it.
Only authorized ticket holders may view the screening of the debut.
Sneak into the back door, okay.
Any additional questions, please see Lilith Devereaux at 907 Loma Vista Drive, Beverly Hills.
Ooh, I'm going to take the paper, fold it up, and stick it in my pocket. Search the rest of the desk real quick, just pulling open the drawers and seeing if there's anything else useful or if it's just all staged to look like some sort of management office.
The things that are there are barely used. So either this place just opened, which might be possible, I suppose, or it feels like a facade. Go ahead and give me a spy.
I needed a 59. I rolled a 56. That's a success.
You hear footsteps running up to the door, pause, and then enter the stairwell leading up to the projection booth. And you know that the chase is on, but for now you've been granted a slight reprieve. So you move towards the door to sneak back out when you happen to notice a crumpled post-it note in the garbage can just to the side of the desk.
Reach in and try and smooth the post-it note out to see if I can't still read what was on it.
It reads, ho-hos strictly forbidden, severe allergic reaction.
Now that's what I call intel. Neatly fold it up and stick it in my pocket with the other piece of paper.
And you hear a commotion above in the projection booth, and then footsteps coming back down.
Open and close the door and attempt to quietly tiptoe sprint down the hallway in hopes that maybe he goes and checks the office next.
Are you heading deeper into the theater or are you heading back out?
I really want to see what's in that projection booth, so I'm going to head back out to the front. I'm going to attempt to head out the front over and down the right side of the hallway.
Do the loop around?
Yeah, assuming that there's a same staircase on the other side, since it's only one screen in the middle, that both sides would have an entrance to the projection room in the middle.
That does seem like another stealth roll to me.
I needed a 60. I rolled a 13. That's a hard success.
In Scooby-Doo fashion, you do manage to pop out of the office, move around to, let's say, the back row of the theater as he comes down the stairs and goes into the office. And you sneak around to the other side and go up the right side hallway. up into the projection booth. And the projection booth is, again, very pristine. There are no miscellaneous reels lying around, the things that you would see back at Odeon Studios. And there is a single reel in the projector.
I'm going to walk up quickly, stop for a second to see if I hear him, and then I'm going to take the reel of film from the projector. I've been working at Odeon long enough, I know how to load and unload film from a projector.
And you do. You tuck it underneath your arm.
Nerd. Tiptoe back down the staircase, and I'm going to look down the hallway further into the theater. Does it look like there's an exit door at the end of the hallway?
Sure.
I'm going to duck in and start sprinting for the far side, that far exit door. See if I can't get out the back while he's still looking for me.
You burst through the door and into an alleyway. Rosa, you see this laboratory set up and this empty box of ho-hos?
It looks like there used to be like those little packages of ho-hos inside that box, but there aren't anymore.
That is correct. Yes, it's just the exterior cardboard box. It has the name, the branding, the pictures, the ingredients, all that stuff.
Hargort, are these yours?
No, I brought them in and stashed them downstairs, but these aren't mine. What? Why would she have these? She said that we weren't supposed to have any ho-hos here.
Look at some of the notebooks. I just want to see if I can find out what they were trying to do.
Go ahead and do a library use to read through her notes.
I got a hard success. 14 under 50.
You flip through a couple pages, and it's quite clear that for whatever reason, Lilith was examining and performing some scientific experiments on the ho-hos. Attempted to break them down, introduce other chemicals or ingredients to try to, in her words, neutralize the poison. There's some pretty heavy protective gear lying around.
We already knew that the ho-hos did something to, like, her magic, her mind control or whatever.
She told us that we just weren't allowed to have them. And I know that they sort of, like, broke the spell, but I don't know what this is.
Maybe she's a dog.
She can't have chocolate.
Oh, shit. Never thought of that.
Could they hurt her somehow?
I mean, what would be in ho-hos that might hurt her? I mean, it's just a snack cake, right?
Well, yeah, but...
He picks up the empty cardboard box and he's like, look at it. I don't know.
That sort of gives me an idea. But let's check the last floor while we have a chance.
Okay, but do you feel that?
Do I feel it?
Roll for feeling it.
Rosa, Ben, please re-add the reach in your other skills. Add 10%.
Yeah, well, I got 10 points in public transportation, so suck it.
And Rosa, I would like you to roll reach.
So I rolled 57 over 10.
So you don't feel anything strange currently, but Harcourt is looking around with wide eyes. I think she's here in the house. What do we do?
I don't know. Sneak back down to the first floor?
Yeah, I mean, it's either up or down.
Oh, my. I think it makes the most sense to try to sneak back down to the first floor if we don't want to get in trouble.
Rosa and Harcourt scuttle their way back down the stairs. Ben, Lilith releases your hand and shows you around the basement. Now, you're quite surprised to see that there are dozens of people down here. They appear to be living down here. They have nice quarters, like a hostel, with bunk beds, but there are snacks out, tables by the bedsides where they're allowed to have personal effects, nice music playing in some of the more common areas. There is a library off to one side, and what appears to be a dojo where they're learning martial arts together.
Nice.
Everyone there is happy. They're all shaved bald, and they're all wearing the same uniform. They're all smiling, particularly as Lilith approaches them, and she reaches out and pets their heads, and they respond in kind, some of them even licking her hand.
Whoa.
At first, it seems a little odd because you've never seen this display of worship or kindness, but after a few moments, it starts to become almost refreshing to see the level of love and devotion on display. And then she takes you to double doors. Well, I thought maybe we'd have a chance to chat by ourselves, just you and I. and she reaches into her pocket and pulls out a key, inserts it into the keyhole, and then struggles with it a little bit, pulls out the key, looks at it, bends down, looks at the keyhole, and you feel her tense up. She reaches out a finger and wipes the lock and then brings it to her mouth and licks it.
That's not sanitary. You don't know where that's been.
She straightens up, puts the key back in her pocket, turns to you with a smile on her face. Well, perhaps we should find some other place to speak.
Is everything okay?
Have I mentioned some of your friends are here?
Who?
Well, Harcourt, you know.
Yeah, I know Harcourt.
And I believe Rosa is here, too. She arrived not too long ago.
Those are like my two close friends.
And you know what? I think Cece is hanging around somewhere, too.
I thought I was special to you.
Oh, you are. You are my prize pupil. My very special friend. I suggest that we cut to the chase. You wanted to learn the magic, right?
Yeah.
Why don't we make that connection now? Your instruction should begin immediately.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's go to the theater, shall we? And she puts out her arm.
And I hook mine around it.
Hi-ho, hi-ho.
Let's go out to the lobby.
They start skipping and clicking their heels.
She takes you up the basement steps. Give me a spot hidden.
Need a 45, roll to 77.
The way that she is allowing you to escort her up the steps, it feels almost as if it's the reverse, as if she is spiriting you away and up. You feel light on your feet as if you're barely touching the ground. And before you know it, you've ascended to the fourth floor.
Holy crap.
Go ahead and give me a reach roll.
I needed a 10 and rolled a 33. I failed again.
The world around you, it's almost as if it's blurring back to that same stasis that you felt back out on the streets before you met Lilith Devereaux. It does feel as though something is creeping at the edges of your consciousness. It doesn't feel invasive. It doesn't feel unpleasant. Quite the opposite. It is cushioning you with the feeling of comfort and the promise of clarity. She takes you down a short hallway which has movie posters on the walls and then opens a door at the end of the hallway and you see a theater. Much like Odeon Studios has set up on the top floor, except this one is much more posh. The seats are leather and cushioned. There are little fold-out trays that swivel. Of course, a screen at the far end that is much larger than the one at Odeon Studios. As she ushers you in, she closes the door behind you. What do you think of my theater?
This is really nice.
It is, isn't it?
I love the seats.
These are imported from Italy. They are very comfortable, but we're not going to spend time right now watching something crazy with Clint Eastwood in it.
Oh, Dirty Harry.
I believe it is time that we spoke with the others. Follow me. And she leads you to the front of the theater where she turns and smiles and then ducks behind the screen.
Should I follow you?
And you hear a click and a hiss from behind the screen.
Approach where she entered.
So you peek behind the screen and see a secret door has been opened.
Glance back over my shoulder and head into the secret door.
You pop your head into the doorway and you see Lilith beyond at the foot of a short flight of steps beckoning you, smiling. Won't you join me in the attic?
What's up here anyway?
Those with whom you should speak about the dark arts.
Black Sabbath?
It is time for you to speak to the great and powerful Thakulmu.
Is that like some awesome cow or something?
It's a new ice cream coming out of Brooklyn.
And she reaches out her hand.
I wipe my hand on my shirt and reach out and grab her hand.
She leads you upstairs. It's basically a flight of steps that goes up about 10 stairs and then switches back up, continuing up another 10, and then a trap door in the ceiling that she opens up and into a small attic room. The very peak of this mansion, completely painted black, except for phosphorescent sigils, and they match the symbols you've been dreaming of.
Nice.
They're the symbols of your dreams.
They still don't mean much to you, but you feel as though this is getting you much closer to comprehension. Because they're here. They're physical. You can see them glowing on the walls and the ceiling and the floor. And at the far end of this relatively small room, on the floor is not a pentagram, but a circle with more of those symbols painted around them.
What am I supposed to do?
You're here to speak with them, the great old one.
TED Talk? Are you giving a TED Talk? Is this your TED Talk?
I must leave you alone. The communication only works if you are the only one speaking, communicating with the great and powerful, the Kulmu. Sit in the circle and he will come.
Hi, great old ones. Welcome to my TED Talk.
What's going to happen once I start talking to them? I don't think I can speak their language. I've been trying to understand it, but I don't think I do.
Don't be afraid, Ben. Trust in that power within you that has been with you for all of your life, even if it has been quieted recently. The great and powerful Thakulmu will speak your language. Trust me in this. I've experienced it myself.
I'm going to start walking towards the circle and crouch to sit down in it.
And as you crouch, you hear the trap door shut behind you and receding footfalls. You are alone in the attic. The sigils and symbols glow and ebb around you.
And I'm going to take a deep breath and close my eyes.
And you feel almost immediately a presence in this room. It seems to be hovering all about you, invisible but omnipresent, waiting.
Hello? Is someone there? I'm sorry, I don't understand. I'm trying to learn. Eleven.
Twelve.
I understood that.
Me too.
Did we just become best friends?
What do you wish from the great and powerful Thakulmu?
I've always wanted to know true magic.
True magic can only be obtained by...
Oh, God. Sorry. Sorry about that. Jeez. Ben, is that you?
Yes.
That guy, is she around?
No.
You probably want to get out of there as quickly as possible. It's me. You.
What is going on?
Long story short, she thinks I'm the great and powerful Thakulmu, and I'm not.
We have a problem.
What's that?
Rosa and Harcourt are here. She has them, and it's CC too.
CC? Oh, geez. She's probably going to be the sacrifice then.
Sacrifice?
Thank you for listening to Tape 8, Case 17, Seance 9. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider writing a review on the podcast platform of your choice. Also, subscribe to our live streams at twitch.tv/lovecrafttapes or youtube.com/lovecrafttapes. Want to drop us a note of devotion? Please visit lovecrafttapes.com anytime to send a letter from beyond via our contact form. As always, the Lovecraft Tapes is brought to you in part by our generous supporters on patreon.com/lovecrafttapes. Would you like to deepen our relationship? Chat with me, the cast members, and other fans in real time at discord.lovecrafttapes.com.
And if anybody wants to check out this really neat movie I found lying around and definitely did not steal, nope, but just found it. It was right here out in the open. You can contact me and we'll set up a screening. Just, hit me up on either Mastodon or Blue Sky at The Real Weird Kid. Definitely didn't steal it, though. I just found it. Not stolen at all. Don't go looking for it.
I knew it. And you can tell me how much you knew it too. If you come to my link tree, you can leave me a note. Linktree.com/LupinVendetta, all one word.
I need everybody to help me. I need a 1978 diskette business machine. So as soon as you find that, and I mean as soon as you find it, send me a facsimile.
Until next time, roll for
Skillos.
Sweet Jesus.
The Lovecraft Tapes podcast is copyright 2024. For more information and sponsorship opportunities, please send email to podcast@thelovecrafttapes.com. Support the Lovecraft Tapes podcast and get access to exclusive content and rewards at patreon.com/lovecrafttapes.